You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
It's gonna be a football game tonight, man.
No doubt.
It's gonna be a football game.
Here. Okay.
I done been here.
All right, let's go, baby. Hey.
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
And the Ohio State Buckeyes are the first national champions of the playoff era.
Ladies and gentlemen, football to football.
Your host, Sean Garmer, Gary Vaughn, and Randy Isbell.
Oh, man. This is, we had to switch our shows around here. If you don't listen to our, you know, Gary and I's wrestling show, and we are doing this officially at 5 o'clock in the morning, Eastern time, 2 o'clock for Randy. So this is one of those. It's late.
It's not late. It's just early. It's breakfast with football to football, everyone. Enjoy your pancakes while you listen to the NFL weekend.
So let's get some of that music so we can get y'all prepped up for this. All right, now that you've kind of woken up a little bit, maybe all of us too, we can get this started. Now, I'll be honest here, from now on Thursdays and Mondays, just to let everybody know, and also to kind of make this a little bit more of a cohesive thing, because a lot of times, unless we have somebody on, like last week where we had Ravens and Steelers fan, and we kind of got to talk to them and get their perspective, a lot of times we end up like rambling with the Thursday night post game stuff or whatever. So we already did a live post game on Ravel.tv. You can go just search WTM Network. Also, it's there if you listen on demand or on Spreaker. The link will be there. All you have to do is press it. You can press it from your phone even, and it will work. And then you can go listen to our live post-game that has, like, our direct thoughts right after the game's over. It was about 20, 25 minutes long, and we go through various different questions. So we're going to hit some of that here, but we're not going to take, like, forever talking about it. And then we're going to hit our NFL Week 5 preview, giving predictions, giving thoughts on those, giving our some of the games we play, you know, all that stuff with some of the questions. And then, you know, Randy will take us to college football week 6. Can't believe we're already through into week 6 already with that. And then we'll talk about what some of the games and some of the things we're looking forward to the most that's happening this weekend. And, of course, Randy and I will be doing a live Ravel broadcasting, just like we did for the Dolphins and Jets game in London. We're going to be doing the Sunday night game, 49ers traveling to New York to take on the Giants. So make sure if you're enjoying this podcast or whatever and you're around on Sunday night watching the game, mute that TV. Listen to Randy and I give you our thoughts on the game and everything as it's going on. So, but of course, you know, I already talked about these guys here. My co-hosts here, Mr. Randy Isbell and Gary Vaughn, how are you guys doing? I'm sure everyone's tired.
Yeah, you know what? I'm reevaluating this. I'm not. It's no longer late for me. It's early. I'm gonna go get me some pancakes. So, Randy, how about it? Me and you will get pancakes. Let Sean finish the show.
Absolutely.
Oh,
you know,
man.
Oh,
sat around and was playing that stupid Shadow of Colossus BS stupid game, and now I'm in a mood, so I'm ready to go. Let's talk about some terrible football.
This is wonderful.
Let's bring it on. I'm ready to go.
Man. God. You know, I've heard Shadow of Colossus frustrating people, but that's a little extra there.
It adds frustration when it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
I can see that, certainly. So, yeah, let's get to the, you know, Thursday night, Indianapolis traveling to Houston, Energy Stadium. The Colts win, but it could have possibly been another Thursday night thriller, could have easily gone to overtime. It did not happen that way, as the Colts had something else to say. They stopped Houston right in their tracks with an interception there at the end, pretty much killing off the game. Houston had one more shot, but third and sixth, Indianapolis started to pass. T.Y. Hilton was faster than Kareem Jackson and he caught it. Game over. Colts win, second game in a row, winning with Matt Hasselbeck at quarterback. So, that being said, they're going to play the Patriots on Sunday Night Football next week. Andrew Luck looks like he's going to be coming back into the fold. The injured shoulders, it's going to be fine. It was just one of those cases where this was too quick of a turnaround for him to be able to play. Do you think that now the Colts will take this momentum and you just plug in Andrew Luck and they play the same? Or is there going to be a little bit of a hiccup now, Andrew Luck having to adjust back to the offense?
So you're trying to say that we don't have a quarterback controversy?
No.
I mean, Hasselbeck's 2-0. No? No? Okay.
No.
I mean, that's the other team. The other team's the quarterback controversy because they both suck. But no, it's going to be interesting to see how Luck kind of gets into this offense. Andre Johnson finally got going a little bit in this game, so I'm curious if now Luck will start looking for him a little bit more. Moncrief was kind of a no-show, which has not been anything going on when Luck was a quarterback. So, I mean, it's kind of up in the air, and the Patriots are no joke. So the only thing, if you're a Colts fan, that you can take solace in is they have 10 days to prep for it, and Luck has 10 more days to work on that shoulder.
Gary, I mean, how much of this Andrew, God, we did this on the post-game show too, Andre Johnson game that he had here, how much of this can you say going forward is going to be a positive for him?
Or
is this just a one-off?
You know what, I'm not sold that it's a one-off, but I'm also not sold at all that it's a, you know, something that's going to be continuous. What I look at here is they took advantage of the matchup that they had. And not only that, Hasselbeck seemed to kind of favor him. And that may not happen with Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck really hasn't targeted him a whole lot. You know, it's just been a situation where he's almost been kind of a ghost out there. I really do wonder with Andrew Luck if when he comes back, is he going to try to target him more? I don't know. But I wouldn't buy into it just yet. You need to give him more time because, you know, these things can happen. You know, one game's great, and 5 games later, he may have another great game.
What about Frank Gore? Had a much better game on this night. Touchdown, almost 100 yards.
Yeah, they're going to need a lot more of that from Frank Gore to kind of balance out this offense a bit. That's always been the problem with Andrew Luck, is he doesn't have a running game to fall back on, so he's always under pressure and it's always on him.
Mm-hmm. It definitely helps his protection too.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, you can do the play action, all that stuff. I mean, it's just certainly, but what's better for your offense if you have a more balanced attack instead of just being one dimensional? So As we've seen with the Colts in the years past. I mean, look, Andrew Luck tries everything he can, and he is pretty much like, you know, sort of second coming of Peyton Manning for very much of his time there. It's just this year with the shoulder injury and everything, it's kind of hindered him. So, you know, he's needed that more than ever. An interesting thing, too, is that this Houston defense, it's very vaunted Houston defense, especially with that line of J.J. Watt, Clowney, Wilkerson, all there, they could not rush Matt Hasselbeck at all. Now, the Colts defense couldn't rush Ryan Mallett or Brian Hoyer either. But this is a defense that's supposed to be pretty good. You have a leader in Brian Cushing at linebacker. You have some, Jonathan Joseph and Kareem Jackson in your corners. And you have some good safeties. I mean, this is a defense at its core that is supposed to be very good. It's supposed to be able to rush the passer. J.J. Watt is, all pro, everything. And a 40-year-old quarterback just slices and dices you here. Frank Gore just runs through your defense. I mean, Andre Johnson, you're making him look like he's 22. I mean, so what do you take of this? Is it just one of those cases where the first part of the game with Ryan Mallett, Houston really couldn't do a whole lot, and so they were on the field a lot more? Or is it a case where just maybe they're just not that good right now? Gary, what do you think?
You know, it's really weird to me because I think it's a chemistry.
And also, they couldn't make stops, really.
No, they couldn't. And with all that talent, you look at that talent on that team, and you scratch your head because you say, why are they not taking care of business? They have the talent on defense to do it. What is it? And it's a scheme versus talent thing for me. And the way they're playing is not at the par with the talent that they have on paper, at least. I mean, I don't know what's going on there. It makes me wonder if the scheme's too odd for them, if they're just not gelling in that scheme. But the biggest thing for me here is you got two great pass rushers, Clowney and J.J. Watt, and J.J. Watt being probably the best pass rusher, if not one of the best pass rushers in this whole entire league. That concerns me a lot. And so I think that there's something going on there in that defense. I don't know what it is. I wish I could solve it for them because maybe I'd make some money off that. But they need to get things together. They really do.
Randy, is this more about the Colts offensive line kind of getting it together there with Hasselbeck at quarterback, or is it?
I hope.
Different?
I think like hope so, but part of it to me feels like it's because it's a Thursday game. Obviously, all the game planning is pretty vanilla, and they did a really great job on the broadcast, kind of pointing out what the Colts were doing to J.J. Watt, where like most of their runs or their pass protection was stop him first, and then take care of everyone else. Like, they knew if they were running it to that side, they wanted to push him off to the side with two linemen if they could, or if they're going to pass it, they were just trying to like direct him around as well as they could. So part of it, I feel, in this game was because it was on, it was only a few days where they could really get things figured out, but maybe they just haven't meshed very well on defense, and this is just how it's going to be the whole rest of the year.
Very well could be that, obviously. On the Houston side of things, obviously, aside from the defense, offensively, had several questions and a few bright spots. Arian Foster was a big deal catching the ball. Obviously, that has to do with Ryan Mallett throws a lot of his stuff to the backs, to the guys that can kind of cross in the middle of the field, because he throws everything in the middle of the field and he's not very accurate. He was a lot more accurate in this game, but for the most part, he throws things and he throws it downfield. He makes the throws, but just you can tell there's just not this confidence there as far as feeling like throughout the game he's not going to make a mistake, and he does make a mistake again. This time it wasn't his fault. It's, it hits the receiver in the hands, and then a Colts defender intercepts it, and then Brian Hoyer steps in. He plays much better when the team is behind, obviously, because all he's doing is basically passing almost every down. Arian Foster again stifled, only 41 yards rushing. He had a better game overall than last week, but he's still not the Arian Foster that we remember. And Jalen Strong came on and caught two touchdowns on two targets, basically. That Hail Mary should not have been caught. That was ridiculous Colts defense. I cannot believe they allowed that, honestly. And DeAndre Hopkins is still the heartbeat of that team. He has been ridiculous this year. 169 yards again this week. What do you take out of this Houston performance offensively? Does Hoyer deserve to start, and is Hoyer like the reason why all this other stuff is kind of came together, or what do you make of this? Do you have faith in Jalen Strong being that second receiver now? Do you think Aaron Foster is going to – is he declining, or is this one of those where he's still coming back from that injury? What are we saying to all this here?
I think as far as Foster goes, I think it's more still injury because he was able to get things going in the receiving game, so he still has a lot of skills and a lot of talent. But he's still missing that burst, and you could tell that when there would be holes that the old Arian Foster, the healthy Arian Foster, would burst right through and get 20, 30 yards, and this Foster could just barely get it to the hole before it closed. So that's a concern, but one that could be fixed. But to me, the big takeaway is DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, like you said, he is the offense. He is the heartbeat. He is the nervous system. He's the digestive system. He's everything for them right now. And you could definitely tell when they were down, all passing plays went to him first. 14 targets. He had 11 receptions, 169 yards. There were times where he would catch a ball and you'd go, how do the Colts not have five guys on him? I mean, it would be the opposite. He'd be 10 yards clear of people. I mean, he's just that good. But Hoyer came out and he looked fine. He came in a weird situation where Mellett gets banged up, had to come out for a play. They decide to stick with Hoyer. Hoyer makes a couple of passes. Next thing you know, Mellett's on the sidelines with a scowl on his face. So, yeah, Houston's a mess. But DeAndre Hopkins is by far the best player on this team right now.
Gary, I mean, what do you think here? Just the body language for Mallett was almost hilarious at times. I felt bad for the guy, but he's obviously not. I mean, he didn't do anything wrong in this game to be pulled out permanently, but I don't know. This is almost like getting into a college football situation where do you play Mallett until you get behind and you play Hoyer? I mean, I don't know. What do you?
No, I mean, I look at this as a situation where Mallett got frustrated, and probably not only in himself, but of course with the coaches. I think he felt like, hey, you know, you should leave me out there. I'm going to fix my mistakes, and it wasn't working out for him. So I think he's just very disappointed. I think he just feels like he should be out there. But the team had to do what was best for the team, and Hoyer gave him the best shot to win this game. And it was proven when he got on the field with confidence level. With the fact that he was able to get the ball in the end zone. So, I mean, you've got to go with the guy that you know can do it. And with the experience that Hoyer has, it's a positive. And so, yeah, you feel bad for Mallett. You really do. But, you know, it's up to the Texans to make that decision.
So Hoyer going forward then?
For me, yes. But, you know, I can't promise O'Brien has that plan.
Yeah, who knows what O'Brien does. But yeah, I'd go Hoyer.
Yeah, you could tell he was really frustrated with that interception at the end, though, because he was sitting there going, "Oh, stupid!" Like they had a chance to win there, and just an unlucky play, and they, I don't know. But anyway, we've talked enough about this game. Let's move on to previewing the week. That's coming here, week 5 of the NFL season. And it seems like because we're doing these podcasts, these weeks are just blazing by. On bye week this week, Miami Dolphins, Minnesota Vikings, New York Jets, and the Carolina Panthers. So if you got Adrian Peterson, Cam Newton, you know, Jets defense, I don't know who you're starting with, Miami, Javon Landry. Make sure you set those guys as far as fantasy goes. So our game of the week this week, is a 1 o'clock game, Seattle Seahawks, going into Cincinnati against the Bengals. So, question here for you guys. Are people getting a little bit too excited about Seattle? And automatically saying, okay, they're going back to the Super Bowl, NFC champs, automatically. Is it a little bit too early to be saying that?
I think so. I mean, Not that they're not doing well, which they are doing very well, but we've seen them in close games, even this past game where they were supposed to beat Detroit. And in fact, I think if I'm not wrong, I had said that they should beat them pretty handedly, and that was far from the truth. I mean, Seattle was right there alongside Detroit the entire game. Detroit put some pressure on Seattle, and Seattle was able to escape. But that was by the hands of Cam Chancellor. Otherwise, that game was a loss for them, and their season's in jeopardy. I think Seattle's a lot more vulnerable than we think. Offensively, they're not really keeping up. Defensively, they're doing just fine. So it's going to be a problem for them when they face other offenses that are able to beat that defense, and they can't keep up through the points. So,
what do you think, Randy?
Yeah, I'm kind of with Gary on here, where it kind of comes down to the offense. Russell Wilson just seems to be running for his life in some of these games. I mean, I don't remember the Detroit Lions defense looking as good as it did against Seattle on Monday, which kind of surprised me. Jimmy Graham just has not gelled well with his offense. Obviously, the Marshawn Lynch injury has kind of messed things up as well, but it's like Russell Wilson and no one else right now on the offense. The defense has been doing the best they can. I mean, especially since Cam Chancellor came back, which I hate saying that, but whatever. But yeah, it's all on the offense. They need to get things rolling a little bit better, especially on the road.
Yeah, it's definitely on the offense. The defense is holding up their end of the game, and the offense is not coming through. I mean, Cincinnati's defense is going to be proving tough once again. But maybe because of that, Russell Wilson's going to need some help on that defensive side. And something that's interesting, considering who they faced, especially on this comeback tour of wins, they don't have their first interception yet of the season. Do you think that happens here, true or false, against the Bengals?
Randy? I'm going to say false. I still don't think they get an interception. Andy Dalton's been really careful with the ball, and I think that continues here.
Ooh, I'll go the flip. I'll take the true. I think it could happen.
There's always that game where you Andy Dalton will throw an interception. This could be that game. Certainly, I think Andy Dalton is matured enough to where it shouldn't affect him like that, you know, negatively. So I would assume that, you know, we move it on, and maybe he throws an interception, but he's still going to be fine. So, that being said, Gary, who do you think will be your fantasy player of the game?
When you look at these two teams, both of them have really good defenses. So, offensively, I don't expect anybody to be excited about starting anybody on offense. But I will say this. I think this could come down to the tight end situation. And I think, really, honestly, Russell Wilson is going to have to try to find Jimmy Graham the best he can in this game, because I don't think the rest of his receivers are going to be able to run as free as they have been, and he's going to be pressured. So I think Jimmy Graham would have to be the guy that I would look out for as maybe having a better game here. Not a great game, but probably the better game than some of the other receivers on the Seattle Seahawks.
Certainly. All right, so who's winning?
Like Seattle? No. I'm going Cincinnati.
Yep, same here. Give me the Bengals.
This is hard. I think I'm going to say Seattle. I think Seattle goes on the road and wins this one. I know it's really hard for them to play on the road. They are totally different at home than they are on the road, but I'm going to say Seattle for this one. So we move on to my first game that I've got to cover here. St. Louis traveling to Green Bay. You know, Green Bay has, I mean, Aaron Rodgers hasn't thrown an interception in I don't know how many daggum games. The Rams, we did see them slow down Carson Palmer, make him make some dumb throws and whatnot, but Aaron Rodgers, different quarterback, he doesn't do the whole throwing it way down the field, all that stuff like Palmer does. He dings and dunks and makes those really throws where like nobody's going to touch them. But do you think the St. Louis defense can do the same thing to Green Bay that they did to Arizona, Gary?
I think they could to an extent. Now, not as well as they did against Arizona, because we're talking about two different beasts here. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers and the way he plays football compared to Carson Palmer and his style of play. And I just Aaron Rodgers has such a great rapport with his receivers, and he can get the ball in these tight areas that, you know, most quarterbacks are still scratching their head how he can do it. So I'm looking at, you know, a little bit more success for Green Bay compared to what we saw against Arizona.
So, Randy, you know, we just had this matchup, actually, in college football last week. Alabama decimated Georgia. So does Eddie Lacy get some revenge for his Bulldogs and have a better game? Or not Eddie Lacy played for the Tide. So does Eddie Lacy continue that trend, or does Todd Gurley get some revenge for his dogs?
Now, we saw Todd Gurley kind of break out a little bit last week, but I don't see him doing the same against Green Bay. Eddie Lacy, on the other hand, hasn't been the most amazing back like people would think he is, but he's still absolutely great. He's kind of shown to be a slow starter as far as the season goes along, so I think he gets better and better as he goes. Here's the first step for it at home. I say Eddie Lacy has a better day.
Gary?
Yeah, I mean, I think Eddie Lacy will definitely have the better day. In fact, you know, I may even go with him for player of the week, game, just because of the fact that I think Aaron Rodgers is going to have a decent day, but I think they're going to try to rely on the running game to help spell, you know, some of the pressure Aaron Rodgers will be facing. So I look for Lacy to have a great game. Gurley, he's going to have an okay game, but nothing spectacular. Green Bay is going to try their best to stop him.
I don't know. I mean, Packers defense isn't that great. I think Gurley certainly becomes more human this week. I'm going to say Gurley, like, Lacy hasn't been, I mean, this great running back we see. He's also sometimes splitting carries with Stark, so I'm going to say Gurley on this one.
I'm playing devil's advocate. Devil's advocate for me, and the reason I chose him is because I think they're going to load up with the box, and I think they're going to challenge Foles to try to beat them. Like, hey, did you had a great game last week? Come on, have another one.
Let's see if you have another one. I can see that. Prediction. Who's winning here?
Green Bay.
Packers easy.
Green Bay. I think they're winning this. They would be amazing if the Rams could go in there and beat that streak, but I don't see it happening.
If they do, Sean, I'm going to stand on two tables.
All right, two. Wow. Okay, so we go to Randy's first against the Chicago Bears with Jay Cutler again and presumably Alshon Jeffrey going against those Kansas City Chiefs. Now, we have seen now it would be three quarterbacks go over 300 yards here. But I have two questions here for you. Do you see Jay Cutler going over 300 yards on the Kansas City Chiefs defense? And which of these one and three teams has the best chance to reach the postseason?
To answer your first question, if Alshon Jeffrey plays, then yes. Because I think Alshon Jeffrey will kind of torch the secondary of Kansas City, which has proven to be very lackluster so far this season. But you said presumably he's playing. I presumed he was playing last week, so I'm taking nothing for granted. Until he's out there on the field, who knows? But you know my answer to the other one. I still have faith in Kansas City as my Super Bowl pick. Just because they've started 1-3, I'm not changing that. They are at home at Arrowhead. So
to be fair, Randy basically has to have faith in his Super Bowl pick because
that's not true. I had Arizona State as my upset national champion team, and the moment I gave up faith on them, they go out and completely trounce UCLA and showed exactly why I had picked them. But I don't have to give – if they lose this game, my faith is gone, and I'll pick somebody else. But, again, it's at home. I've said they're probably going to win their next four games, and this is the first one of those. So,
hey, at least we have a definitive date now for Randy to just be like, all right, I'm off the bandwagon. Let's move in.
There's a lot of room on this bandwagon. After they win this next four games, like I'm predicting, you guys can start thinking about hopping on.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. This is going to be interesting. I look at the Kansas City team being, you know, honestly a better team. Yeah, they've had their struggles, but I just feel like they're a better team than Chicago.
So. All right, that's fair enough there. You know, I just think that at its core, even with the big three playing for Chicago, I just think that Chicago has a bigger hill to climb because you never know with Cutler. I think at least you know what you get with Kansas City offensively. Defensively, they're always a problem, but Chicago's Bears defense is just as bad. This could be the shootout that it really shouldn't be with Alex Smith getting over 300 yards, too. And we saw him do it last week. So this is going to be, I think, an interesting game for Randy to watch here. But over under 2.5 field goals for Carlos Santos after he had 7 last week.
I'll say over just because of the fact that, you know, Chicago's defense may not be the best in the league, but we've seen them slow down teams. We've seen them, you know, not just give everybody leeway to go down the field. And so I could see them totally stopping, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs from getting into the end zone a few times.
It's crazy to think if Kansas City could have just figured out how to finish a few drives, they may beat Cincinnati last week because they were able to move the ball down the field pretty easily, but then they would get down there and just forget how to do anything offensively. I'm actually going to say under here only because I picked up Cairo Santos in a few fantasy leagues to fill in for a few bye week issues. So I already know that it's going to end badly for me. So okay, I'm going to say under.
Okay, I gotta get on my team. I know I picked him up in one league. I'll make sure I drop him right.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, the moment I traded for Andrew Luck, the shoulder issues started coming out.
Oh.
And I got him in two leagues, and I have started four wonderful quarterbacks. That start Fitzpatrick and Hasselbeck last week. I dropped Hasselbeck yesterday in one league because Luck is all about saying he's playing, and then he's out. So then I am now stuck with, because Fitzpatrick is on bye, I am starting Blake Bortles and Josh McCown, and I'm not happy about either of them. So, yeah. Cairo Santos, I apologize for picking you up in that league.
Whatever works for you there, right? So, who's winning?
Chiefs.
It's in Kansas City, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Kansas City's winning. My computer decided it wanted to go a little slow. So, divisional matchup here. Cleveland Browns, our first divisional matchup of the week that we have listed here. Now, obviously, we can go a different order and that would happen. But next game I had to watch, Cleveland Browns going to Baltimore. After a big divisional win against Pittsburgh on Thursday night last week, Baltimore set themselves up as the first 0-3 team to make the playoffs since 1998. That was the Buffalo Bills. I'd have to say they could certainly be that. They have a nice schedule going forward here for a little bit. And Cleveland Browns could certainly set them off on a two-game win streak. I mean, obviously, this is going to be one of those, another one of those where McCown's going to have to be throwing it in its shootout game and all that. But I think Baltimore definitely has a big chance here. What are you guys thinking here?
You know, I was looking at this game and just trying to evaluate it myself and try to figure this out because, you know, we know Baltimore's defense is not exactly the best. I think that, you know, we've got two similar defenses here. Talented guys, but not exactly elite. Both offenses can be good, but both offenses can also be a sputtering mess at the same time. So I think we're looking at very similar teams here right now. But for me, you know, I think home field advantage will probably be the reason why Baltimore will be better this week.
Yeah, that's an interesting matchup. Cleveland's played a little bit better than I think we've all given them credit for. McCown has done a great job of finding his tight ends and just kind of dinking and dunking down the field. Duke Johnson's been amazing in the passing game. So they've been able to stick in games where you don't think they should. So I think they keep this really close. But because it is at Baltimore and it is, 10 days since they've last played, things are pointing upwards for Baltimore.
Certainly. You can definitely say that. So on the other side of the ball for Cleveland, they have two running backs that they've kind of been using interchangeably here. Which running back has the bigger game, Isaiah Crowell or Duke Johnson?
This is another tough question because we've seen both running backs do pretty decent, and Crowell's led in rushing quite a few times. But, you know, the difference here is, you got Duke Johnson, who is not just in the running game, but he's also in the passing game. But if we're just talking about rushing yards, that's all we're talking about here. I think I'm going to lead towards Crowell, but if you're talking all-purpose, I may lean the other way.
All right. Randy, any thoughts?
Give me Duke Johnson either way. I think he starts to solidify himself as the better running back on the team.
I'll take Duke Johnson, too. So who's winning?
I'm going Baltimore.
Once, you know.
Baltimore, sir.
I wanted to double check that I didn't pull the upset on my pick'em. Nope, I have Baltimore.
Baltimore for me too. Washington travels to Atlanta so that Atlanta can presumably complete the quadrifecta on the NFC East this year. Washington has the number one rushing attack in the NFL. Can Atlanta slow it down? Gary?
You know, that's the question here. And, you know, Atlanta's done a pretty good job for the most part. And their defense has not been exactly, you know, the best starting out the year. But guess what? They've little bit here and there tightened up their game. Of course, you also got to evaluate the teams they've played. You know, they've played the rest of the NFC East who have had some struggles. But I think here, Atlanta, you know, I think they've got some real honest concerns, but I do feel like that they're going to be able to load up and take care of the running game, because I really feel like they're going to put Kirk Cousins in a situation where he's going to have to beat him.
Fair enough. Randy?
Yeah, the Falcons' rush defense has been really good this year, so it's going to be difficult for Washington to do what they've been doing, but I see the running backs doing a bit more in the passing game, but Atlanta's just been so good this year, so it's going to be difficult for them.
Oh, I mean, you gave me a great segue there talking about running backs. Atlanta has a running back that's pretty good. Devonta Freeman, he's had 3 touchdowns in 2 games. So over under that amount for Devonta Freeman, 1.5 touchdowns in this game.
I'll go ahead and start because I'll go back to the woe is me fantasy league that Andrew Luck has screwed me over, and I picked up the kicker. I'm facing Devonta Freeman, so way over.
Okay. I would say under because of it's hard to repeat these performances, but since you're only going 1.5, I'll take the over.
Washington's been pretty stout against the run in this league so far. I'm going to say under. I think Atlanta's going to have to pass the ball to beat Washington here. So who's winning?
Give me another home team. Give me Atlanta.
It's in the dome.
Yep, I'm taking Falcons.
Falcons complete the quadrifecta on the NFC East. Good Lord. So imagine if Washington is that only team to beat him. That's embarrassing. So going on with Jacksonville, taking on Tampa Bay, another Florida matchup. We've already had the other one this year. I get stuck with this Florida matchup. Charles Sims, he has had back-to-back games with a receiving touchdown. I didn't even know this. Is this now the age of backup running backs who have bigger roles in the passing game? To be fair, I think sometimes the word backup running back is really used interchangeably with running back by committee. So, Randy, I mean, do you think it's the age of this going on now?
Yeah, a little bit, because, I mean, this is another situation where I feel Charles Sims might be the better running back than Doug Martin, just the same as I feel Duke Johnson is better than Crowell. But they are so much better in the passing game that they are more used on third down situations. So you'll see that Doug Martin's and Crowell's and Alfred Morris's of the world, you know, be out there on first and second down in running situations. And then come third down, they're bringing in these younger backs with better hands. And then you have that dual threat that you have to worry about. The same thing with Washington, who we had talked about earlier with Chris Thompson, who has kind of emerged as their third down back because he's so effective out of the backfield in the passing game. So that's what I see here. Is like in the old days, Charles Sims would be fighting for the starting job. But nowadays, it's like he doesn't need the quote-unquote starting job because just make sure he's out there on third downs and he's so effective in that role.
Fair enough. Gary, does this game go to overtime?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. I think it'll be decided in regulation. It would surprise me if it went to overtime.
All right. So who's winning?
I got Jacksonville.
I'm going to say Jacksonville on the road, too.
I'll go out on my own for once. I'll say Tampa Bay.
All right, we got an interesting matchup here. We saw what the Saints did to the Cowboys and the Heartbreaker last week on Sunday Night Football. Now it's New Orleans time to get out of the Dome and go to Philadelphia against a team that has not been what everybody thought they would be. DeMarco Murray and Chip Kelly have both commented about his amount of touches. Do you see this as one of those times where I have two questions here. Is this a distraction? And number two, does this mean that DeMarco Murray is going to get a lot more touches in this game, or does Chip Kelly go the defiant route and give him less touches, or about the same? Gary?
Ooh. I think they're probably going to try to give him more. We saw his rushing increase this last week. I think they want to get him on track. I think not only is he embarrassed, but I think that Philadelphia is kind of looking at themselves and saying, we're getting blasted for paying this guy so much money. We've got to get him successful. We've got to get him going that way. We don't look like idiots. So I think more rushing attempts would be there.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. This whole thing, like, I haven't seen a ton of the interviews or, like, the original stuff that's going on. But to me, it more felt like, you know, DeMarco Murray answered a question. Honestly, he was asked, you know, does he feel like he should get more touches? And he just said, yeah, absolutely. I feel like I should, because that's what every player wants. They want the ball more. He didn't.
Especially a running back.
Yeah. And it was from the way I took it, it didn't sound like he was saying it up, like he was upset about it, but he was just going, of course I want the ball more. And then Chip Kelly said it exactly the way he should have, and I mean, very honest and very open about it. But listen, he would have got more touches, but he got that injury right before the Jets game, and so he missed that game. And then he had missed most of that week in practice, so he wasn't really able to really get into their game plan. And we all know Philadelphia and Chip Kelly like to, you know, do all that crazy game planning before so they can get on a roll offensively and go play by play by play. And not have to huddle up. And when you miss those kind of practice, it's tough to fit you into the game plan. So I think it kind of changes now. But of course, when you're 1-3 and you're in Philadelphia, you know the media is going to jump on anything they can.
Oh, certainly. So I have another question here for you, Randy. Over under 800 total yards of offense this game.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, I would have definitely said over if it was in New Orleans, you know, get these two speedy teams going on the turf indoors and stuff. Both these defenses have been terrible. Combined, their defenses are giving up like 770 yards or something like that. It's ridiculous. In Philadelphia, maybe the weather gets into it maybe a little bit. Sam Bradford is still struggling, but from what I've been hearing from Chip Kelly, they're tweaking some stuff, so maybe that works. So I'm going to go over here. I think it's a high scoring game and a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see it being a pretty high scoring game as well. I've seen nothing from either defenses either. You've got Sam Bradford. If they make those tweaks and they can fix some things, he could have a great day. And I think Drew Brees, you know, even when he's got a sore arm, I think he's going to be okay. So I feel pretty confident in that.
Fair enough. Who wins?
Give me the home team again. Give me Philadelphia.
I'll be different. I'll go ahead and say New Orleans.
I say Philadelphia gets off the schneid here. So Buffalo is traveling to Tennessee. This is a game that I have here. It should be pretty interesting. Tennessee coming off their bye. Buffalo has obviously had problems with penalties. They had problems with penalties in the last game. They made it a big deal. They are making an even bigger deal by punishing players who commit penalties during practice as a way to try to cut them down in the game. Do you think this works, Randy?
I don't know what else you can do. I mean, really, I mean, mid-season, you don't have a ton of time to work on that kind of stuff, and Rex Ryan likes to do goofy stuff like that. So from what I've read, it's all about push-ups and making the rest of the team do push-ups while you stand there and look at what you have done and look at everything that you have caused, which I thought was great. Try to turn it into a team builder, try to turn it into whatever you can. But, I mean, this has definitely been a problem for Buffalo. They've looked great in most aspects of the game except for this. So if they can get that figured out, maybe they become a playoff team again.
Yeah. You know, and my judgment for penalties would be, you know, for every penalty that the team gets that day of practice, they have to listen to a minute of Celine Dion.
Oh, God.
So, they might like that.
You think
that
so?
That might be a reward. Maybe that was the punishment to begin with, and they just now learned that they love Celine Dion, so they're pulling penalties out on purpose.
Jeez.
I mean, Buffalo is next to Canada.
Oh, true.
It could have trickled down a little bit. You don't know these things.
Sure. That is true.
God. All right. I don't want to be anywhere near Celine Dion at all. So, take me out of that, please. Does Marcus Mariota have more touchdowns or interceptions in this game, Gary?
He struggled. I'm gonna say he's gonna play smart. I'm gonna say touchdowns over interceptions. I mean, this isn't very confident of me saying this, but I'm just gonna go this way.
Yeah, Buffalo's defense is really good, but Tennessee is coming off the bye, so he's got an extra week to kind of prep for this team. I'm gonna go with Gary and say more touchdowns and interceptions.
I'm going to go with more touchdowns and interceptions. Also, who wins?
Well, before we get to that, I do have a question for our fantasy guy here.
Yes.
So they're saying McCoy most likely is not playing. And why am I blanking on the name now? Carlos Williams, coming off the concussion, may not play. If he doesn't play, what are your feelings on Mr. Booby Dixon?
He could have an okay game against Tennessee. Tennessee's defense isn't known for completely stopping the run, but I don't have a whole lot of high hopes for him in this game. He's a decent running back, but I still don't put him in the echelon of being a guy that's going to get you, you know, 100 plus. I think he could get you probably about 80 and maybe a touchdown.
Okay.
All right. So who do you guys have winning here?
Buffalo for me.
Oh, I want to say the upset so bad. I do.
I'm going to go ahead and go with it, Tennessee.
Oh, you do that. I'm staying Buffalo.
All right.
I can't do it.
Yeah, I can't either.
Fair enough. I find myself, I'm going to wind up saying that a lot for some reason. So, the first 4 o'clock game, Randy. You're going to be watching this. It should be a really interesting game, Arizona. Going to Detroit. Does Detroit take last Monday as a positive or a negative? Gary?
You know what? I would take it as a positive. You know, you could look at all the negative things that happened in that game, but really, honestly, you hung in there with a team that was in the Super Bowl. You got to take away all the good things out of that. And, you know, if you would have lost by a big margin, then that's all negative. But no, you hung in the game no matter how you did it. So, yeah, I could take positives.
Randy, true or false, the leading receiver in this game will not be Calvin Johnson or Larry Fitzgerald.
I'm going to go with false. I'm going to say it is Calvin Johnson as the leading receiver in this game.
Oh, I mean, it would be a good time for him to do it, right? He hasn't been really that at all this season. You think Randy might be onto something here?
I think he did. I really do. I feel like it because, you know, these are the guys that each of these quarterbacks is really going to try to target, find him. And I think this is a great opportunity for that to happen.
All right. So who wins? This is a big one for the Lions.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the way Monday night ended and they go back home, basically.
Remember, Arizona lost really close in that game. They're going to be mad.
I think Arizona's the better team. But it's just one of those games where it's like Detroit just doesn't feel like they should be 0-5, so I don't think they are. I'm going to go with the upset.
I got to go Arizona here. I mean, as well as Detroit played and as hard as they fought, I don't know. I don't know if they can come back with that same energy again second week in a row. I just got to go Arizona.
Yeah, it's hard for me to be able to say that Arizona's going to lose 2 in a row and also that defense is going to make Stafford's life hell. You've got Patrick Peterson over there that's going to bother Calvin Johnson. I got Arizona in this game, I think. So moving on to our 4:25 games. Randy's got the Denver Broncos at the Oakland Raiders in a divisional matchup here. How long of a day will be for Derek Carr against the number one defense in the league? Randy?
Yeah, this is going to be really difficult for him. They kind of fell down to earth a little bit last week. You know, everyone was kind of riding high on them after, you know, big wins against Baltimore and Cleveland. Chicago slows them down, and now here you are against Denver, who is just showing that their defense is so good that it doesn't matter that Peyton Manning has kind of taken a couple steps back. They're just that good. So it's going to be a very, very long day for Derek Carr, and he's going to be picking himself off the ground quite a bit, I have a feeling.
Gary, who has the better game for the Broncos, C.J. Anderson or Ronnie Hillman?
You know, what's funny is, you know, I'm not sure if one of you guys said it last week or what, but it's just funny because really Denver is trying their best to get the ball to C.J. Anderson, but Ronnie Hillman just week in and week out. just proves that he's hungry and he wants it. So, you know, I could be completely wrong, but if you're asking me and you asking me to put money on it, I'd probably say Hillman to have a better day.
I would go with Hillman, too. He's been the most, I'd say, the most positive back in that backfield. What do you think, Randy? Randy?
Sorry about that. I saw my mic muted. I was taking a drink. How does that New Day chant go?
Ronnie Hillman.
Oh, no, no. Well, I was thinking more CJ sucks. CJ sucks. Right? That's how it's been a while since I've been watching wrestling. I think that's how that goes.
Yeah, that is how that goes.
Yeah, give me Ronnie Hillman.
That's great. So who do you have winning, though?
Oh, Denver. Defense is too good.
Yeah, Denver.
Denver? Don't they have that ridiculous record against the division? Whatever. Like 13 games or something? Yeah, Denver. So the second game on our docket here is we should just pretty much call it the bloodbath.
Here, hold on. You brought up that stat about the division. And I just saw this one stat about them and the Raiders. I just wanted to read it real quick because it's great. The Broncos have won their last 7 meetings with the Raiders by an average of 21.6 points. And they are 6-0 against the Raiders with Peyton Manning. The Broncos scored at least 40 points in both meetings last season. And they have won, or the Broncos have won 13 straight road games against divisional opponents. That's the one you were looking for.
Yes, of course, when I'm talking about the bloodbath, I'm talking about New England coming into Arlington and taking on the Dallas Cowboys with whether it's Brandon Weeden or Matt Castle at quarterback and the walking wounded everywhere else. God, Gary, this one is depressing to talk about. How important is it for the Patriots to get Blunt and Lewis going early? I feel like the question should be, how many points are Dallas going to get murdered by?
Yeah, I mean, to answer your first question, it's going to be very important for New England to get the running game going, only because that's the way they break Dallas's spirit right away. They could start throwing the ball and, you know, try to get first downs that way, in which they will succeed. But I just feel like if you really want to get Dallas down and you really want to win this game by halftime or even just the third quarter, you run the ball down their throat because you've got to tire out the defense to make sure they don't get to Tom Brady, don't pressure him. You got Hardy came back. You got some guys energetic in this. This game is going to be one where the Dallas Cowboys are going to try their best to, you know, get to Tom Brady. And so the best solution for that is to run the ball. Points-wise, I mean, I'm not sold it's going to be ridiculous. I mean, it's not going to be good, but I don't think they're going to just go out and slaughter like a 56-point game. I don't know if I see that.
All right, fair enough. Gary being a little optimistic here. So 15 touches for Darren McFadden, Randy.
I will say over. I know. I think it was Gary that said last or on Monday that he really wanted to see Darren McFadden get into the offense a little bit more. I think that happens.
Oh, I think he has to because Lance Dunbar confirmed torn ACL. So, I mean, unless they're going to sign someone. And even if they do, I mean, now Christian Michael will be on the team, so it could be possible that he supersedes Darren McFadden as well. But I would assume that at least for this game, Darren McFadden will have more touches. He should be used a lot more in the passing game, where I think that's a strength of his as well. Jeez, man, I'm going to say over. Gary, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I think over.
All right, so who's winning? Patriots?
I think Gronk tries to spike the ball so hard he hits that giant jumbotron.
Wow.
I would say he would shatter the glass in the end zones, but yeah, I'll go New England.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. makes me sad to pick them.
I will note this. These are the kind of games that Dallas usually ends up being pretty darn close in. So.
Randy and I really should abstain from this, but we're going to have to do it. Sunday Night Football, San Francisco against the New York Giants. Of course, this will be our Rival TV broadcast. Gary will unfortunately not be able to be with us. Maybe he can call here and there. So, what happened to Carlos Hyde, Gary?
That's a good question. He may have came back down to earth. I don't know. It just kind of surprises me because I think this kid has a lot of talent, and I just think he's not doing everything the way that maybe the offense is asking for. To me personally, I don't understand what's going on here with this guy. I think that there's a lot of things that he could do maybe to tweak his game, but it's just success is not his right now.
Fair enough. So, Randy, to you on the other side here, which is the higher total, 76 points or the New York Giants takeaways? I mean, there may have to be a lot of takeaways there.
I don't think it's going to be very many takeaways. The 49ers offense has just been abysmal. They've scored a total of 10 points in the last two games total, scoring only 3 against Green Bay. I think that's probably about where they end up on Sunday night, is about 3 points. And I'm going to say over on the New York Giants takeaways, as ugly and terrible as that sounds.
All right. Well, who's winning?
Yeah, Giants are winning.
I'm going Niners. I think this is a game that's going to... I think in New York, I think the 49ers can bring it home. I think they can take it and... I just think a lot of people have the New York Giants a little bit too hyped. I think that after this week, people are going to say, oh, wow, well, let's rethink this. Because New York's played some good games, but I just don't know. I'm still not sold.
I finally get to pull away from Gary by a game.
That's fine. The Giants, they know they have to win this game. They know with Dallas coming up again and more of the division games coming up again, they have to win this game. It's a very vulnerable game. It's a game at home. It's one of those where it can define your season when you look back at it. I think the Giants wind up getting it here. If they want to make any kind of serious push in that division, I think you do. So, Monday Night Football. Pittsburgh Steelers traveling to San Diego. The Chargers usually do well in San Diego. How does Vic wind up doing in his second start here, Gary?
I think Vic will be fine in the second start here. San Diego, has struggled, especially defensively at times. And, especially with Vic getting a little bit more time to get ready for this game, I think it's definitely a positive for him and for the entire, Pittsburgh team. So I think he'll fare better.
All right, fair enough. Randy, who has the better game, Martavis Bryant, who's returning after a suspension, or Keenan Allen?
I'm going to say Keenan Allen. I'm really confused. I'm looking at ESPN's preview thing just to kind of look at numbers while we're doing this, and they say Martavis Bryant's out. What's going on with that? I've not heard anything about that.
Not either. That's kind of interesting.
But that was on the 5th, so I don't know if that was just because of the suspension and now he's back. I've heard nothing, so I was curious if you guys had.
Mm-hmm. No, I haven't heard anything on that.
Yeah, that's
weird. But
I haven't heard anything either.
I'm guessing he's playing and this just wasn't updated or whatever. So I just saw it while I was looking at stuff. But no, I'm going to say Keenan Allen just because he has a better quarterback to throw it to. They already have the rapport together where, they know each other. Vic and Bryant have not played on the field very much together, so I'm going to say Keenan Allen has a better game.
I'll say Keenan Allen as well. Gary?
Yeah, Keenan Allen.
All right, who wins?
Another home team for me. Give me the Chargers.
Yeah, I got to go with the Chargers too.
This is another one. Chargers need to win this game. Chargers. All right, So that does it for our NFL Week 5 preview. Make sure with us, if you're around on Sunday night and, you know, you're not doing a whole lot, even if you are, even if you're watching the game, perfect. All you have to do is lower the volume a little bit, or mute it even. Go to Rabble.com, find the WTM Network profile page, listen to us call the San Francisco and New York Giants game. Should be fun. Yeah, there's that. And also, we'll, of course, be back Monday night, a little bit after the Monday night game. We're going to be doing our live Rabble postgame, and then, you know, we'll be doing the podcast shortly after that. So, and for you on-demand people, Tuesday morning, when you wake up, it'll be there, the recap of Week 5. So, that's the end of the NFL stuff. Let's move on to getting to the college football big games of this week. Take it away, Randy.
All right, not a super week, I guess, for college football. We have a couple big games. A big one, actually, yesterday where USC got upset by Washington. That was pretty surprising to me.
Oh, crap. That was on the pick-em?
No, that was just a college game, but not on the pick-ems. Yeah. But still pretty big result as far as the college football landscape. As far as pick-ems go, let's just kind of go through this pretty quick because, again, it's very early in the morning and we don't need to go fully through it. But just give me your picks, your confidence picks if you got them. Let's go Indiana Hoosiers at Penn State. These are two teams I honestly have watched very little of, so it's at a one for me, but I'll take the home team, Penn State, just because I honestly have probably watched 5 plays of Penn State and nothing of Indiana.
Man, I'm taking Indiana. They're the ones that took Ohio State almost to the brink there. I don't think Penn State's that same kind of team. I think Indiana beats them.
I'll go Penn State. I've, you know, seen Penn State beat teams they shouldn't have, so.
What about Wisconsin at Nebraska, Gary? How do you feel?
Oh, man, this is a tough game for me. And, oh, Lord. I picked it, and I'm going to look at my sheet right here, and I'm going to tell you I picked Wisconsin. That's not a confident pick.
Sean?
I'm going to say Wisconsin, too, but damn, I'm not. I agree with Gary. I'm not really confident on it.
Wisconsin pissed me off and cost me 10 points last week. So I'm taking Nebraska, but I'm with you guys as far as the not very confident at all. How about number 19, Georgia at Tennessee? Does Georgia bounce back after their complete just drubbing that they received by Alabama, or does Tennessee pull it out at home, Sean?
Tennessee has lost so much. They have lost so many games they should have won. I think Georgia does it again to them. I think at this point, Tennessee's got to be, like, gutted. They're supposed to be way better than this. Georgia has to bounce back if they want to do anything. I'm saying Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia still has a chance to make that SEC championship game and get back into the picture, even though they got completely blown out. They lose that opportunity with a loss here. So I'm with you, Sean. I have Georgia at a 5.
Yeah, I got Georgia.
How about number 25, Boise State at Colorado State? Give me Boise State by a lot. I have them as my number 9. Sean?
I had them as my number 10, Boise State by a lot.
Yeah, I got Boise State as well.
All right, well, let's go to my number 10. Number 10, Oklahoma at Texas. Sorry, guys. I've taken Oklahoma by a lot in this one as well.
Should win by a lot. I have them as my number 5 just because it's a huge rivalry game, and we've seen Texas win games they really shouldn't have against Oklahoma.
Yeah, I get Oklahoma, but I'm right there with Sean.
All right, let's get to some of our bigger games. Let's go and number 11, Florida, who's pulled off some really big wins this year, but they go on the road to Missouri, who has been a big player in the SEC since joining them. Can Florida get it done on the road, Gary?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Florida's definitely surprises this season, but Missouri is just not that great. I think Florida's going to take care of business.
Tom?
I'm going to say Florida, too. I think they're on a roll. It's going to be rough because Missouri's not 4-1 for no reason. But I'm going to say Florida.
It's a tough one. I keep bouncing back and forth. Florida's only had one road game this whole year, and it was against Kentucky, who they beat 14-9. But that same Kentucky team did beat Missouri. So I'm going to say Florida wins in a nail biter. I only have it as a 3. Number 21, Oklahoma State at West Virginia. Gary, how do you feel about this one?
I think Oklahoma State's going to take care of business.
I got Oklahoma State taking care of business, too.
Now, Oklahoma State has had some really close wins the last couple weeks. They're kind of flirting with disaster. Don't see this one being as close. Not saying it's a blowout, but maybe a two-score game. Give me Oklahoma State. And I had it as a 4. Miami at number 12, Florida State. Is there any way Miami pulls the upset, Gary?
Oh, I think they could. Upsets are not out of the question, but Florida State's got to have this game.
Oh, Lord. Miami lost a game they should have won last week. Give me Florida State running away, please.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I have them, I believe, as my 8. Yep. Number 13, Northwestern at number 18, Michigan. One of the two really intriguing matchups to me. Michigan's really kind of bounced back from that first week loss. But Northwestern's one of those sneaky teams that I don't think is getting a lot of recognition nationally, but they should. Sean, do you think Northwestern goes into Michigan and pulls off the big win?
No, I think Michigan's kind of Jim Harbaugh's gotten them playing. I think they're at that point where if they lose, it's not going to be as team like Northwestern.
Garrett?
I got Michigan. I think they're going to take care of business, too.
And like I said, Northwestern has been that sneaky team. They look really good. But ever since that loss to Utah, they gave up 7 points to Oregon State, 7 points to UNLV, and then shut out BYU and Maryland. I don't say they shut out Northwestern, but that defense looks really scary for Michigan. So I have Michigan winning that one. I have it as my 6. And then your final game here, number 23, California at number 5, Utah, who is surprising the entire world. Does Utah keep rolling here, Sean?
I think so. I think Utah keeps rolling.
Yeah, I feel the same way. In fact, I got them at a 9.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, they completely blew out Oregon, beating Michigan. California barely beat Washington State last week, which should say all that you need to hear. So give me Utah as well.
Yeah, well, that does it for our college games, unless you had something else.
Well, I want to quickly bring up the fact that you, sir, better fix your lineup. So
I did that.
I haven't updated it, but yeah, I play you in the podcast league, and
I'll mess with it. Don't worry about it.
I just want to make sure
unless
I beat you.
Unless I have a player on Thursday, I don't mess with it till later in the whatever. I stupidly shouldn't have messed with it because I took Frank Gore out in the one league that I had him. So hopefully Doug Martin does something.
Yeah, just when I talk about my victory over you on Monday, I don't want to hear because you left Adrian Peterson in there.
Oh, no, that won't happen. Well, that'll be interesting to get to talk about here next week. But, yeah, the only thing we got left here is what are you excited the most about watching this weekend? I mean, obviously, you know, Gary, not that we're that excited about it, but Randy and I are calling that game, so that's something. Other than that, Randy, what are you looking forward to here?
Sitting back and not stressing out over my Jets. them having a bye week kind of excites me. No, the big thing for me, it's which teams slip up. Like, does Green Bay slip up at home against St. Louis? About New England against Dallas. You know, there's always one of those games, I always talk about it, where it's like it's a no-brainer and they end up falling off, like Atlanta and Washington or something crazy like that. The other one is I think Seattle and Cincinnati is going to be a hard-hitting game, and as much as I hate to say I want to watch a Seahawks game, like I kind of want to watch that one.
You just picked my game. That's the game I'm looking forward to seeing the most. Just because, you know, it's our game of the week, if that's why. But, you know, it's going to be a close one, and I'm looking forward to watching it.
That's going to be fun, too. I think something else to look forward to look around at is I want to see if that Philadelphia kind of gets it together here against New Orleans. That's going to be interesting. If Philadelphia loses another game, I think the stuff's going to be out on Chip Kelly, especially against New Orleans with, again, one of the worst defenses in the league. If you can't beat them at home, I think that, you know, that ownership is going to really start questioning what Chip Kelly's doing. Yeah, I think that about does it, guys. We kind of covered it all here in a really, really short fashion. I guess we should all just do it when we're really tired. Maybe we'll just get through things faster. But, yeah, so, you know, like I said, we'll be doing that Sunday night game on Sunday, San Francisco Giants. Listen to us on Rabble.tv. There's a Rabble app, iOS and Android, that you can download. Go to What's On Live, and you'll see football to football broadcasts. 49ers versus Giants. Just go in there. You can listen to us. Lower your TV down so you can hear us very well, and there you go. If you're a wrestling fan, we have the rest of the Max podcast that we just got finished doing. We reviewed NXT TakeOver Respect. Pretty damn good show. We also previewed the New Japan King of Pro Wrestling show. It's a pretty big show for New Japan that's happening on Monday morning, and they're also doing that announcement for Wrestle Kingdom 10 on Tuesday, so we'll be talking about both of those things on the Tuesday night W2N special that we're doing. And I got the video game podcast, Crawford Multiplayer, if you're a big video game fan, talking about current things and video games, especially like that Far Cry Primal and other things. You can listen to that on our WTM network, which you can go subscribe to as well. Of course, subscribe, write and review on this podcast, because we'd love to hear from you guys what you think about the way we do the games, and if you think we could do something better, if you think, you know, we could do this preview better, whatever. Just nice to hear some constructive criticism, obviously. And if you want to hear something about some older games, Randy, tell them about that.
Yeah, definitely check out backlogbusting.com. I kind of mentioned it at the beginning of the podcast because I am feverishly trying to get through this Shadow of Colossus game, which it has so many good elements to it that the things that I'm struggling with become so much more agonizing and frustrating and ugh. So we'll talk about that next week, along with a weird indie game for Steam called Long Live the Queen, and Wes is playing Fallout New Vegas. So check that out on Tuesday, as well as on YouTube under the Backlog Busting Project. We come out with a Wes failing at Mario Maker in wonderful fashion. So check that out as well.
All right, so we plugged everything. We did all that. Again, thank you for listening, wherever you are, whoever you are. That's always really appreciated. And we will see you on our Tuesday morning recap podcast. Later, everybody.